Hi there and welcome along to another workout for you to row along to. Today we are going to go back to the nice, slow, low intensity fitness building, the most important workouts you can do style of workout. And as we're getting on within the Zero to Hero series, I'm going to keep this at quite a kind of lengthy duration. So what we're going to do is 2 20-minute intervals with 1 minute rest in between. That 1 minute just gives you a chance to wiggle your backside, have a drink and get ready for the next 20 minutes ahead. Okay, so it's a simple row. You're just going to do it all at 20 strokes a minute, down at 5 out of 10 intensity, or at about 2K plus 18 to 20 if you are using a Concept 2 2K based training plan. It's entirely up to you. Just keep that pace, low intensity, zone 2 heart rate, low intensity, okay? So before we start, we are going to do a 4 minute warm up, so you have to get your machine set up first. And on an Averon, that means going to your resistance and setting that to where you are used to having it set for these low intensity rows. If you're using a Concept 2 in the Averon app, set your drag factor to wherever you would normally have it for these longer rows. It's a good idea to keep it around about 130 for drag factor if you don't know anything about it, which is usually around about lever setting of 5 on a clean machine, but make sure and check up your drag factor rather than just setting a lever, all right? Next up, let's go to your foot stretcher height. And what I want you to do is set the height of your feet so that you're able to come into the front of the stroke with your shins in a vertical position comfortably, okay? It's a simple one, but a lot of people miss it. So comfortably, if you're set too high in the foot stretchers, it can get a bit tough to get there. If you're set too low, it can get quite easy to get there. You go past that point, your backside goes out from underneath you, you lose power, it can get a bit uncomfortable, okay? A good guide here is to set them to a height where the strap will cover the balls of your feet or the bottom lace of your shoe. Set it there first, adjust afterwards for comfort and to make sure you're rowing properly. Don't just go that as a ballpark. Adjust as necessary, okay? So we're gonna get into our 4 minute warm up. We're gonna start off at 20 strokes a minute at light intensity, and then we'll build up a little bit, do some drills, and we'll be ready for our main row. So if you're ready to go, we're gonna get started in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go. So keep it light intensity, okay? All I really want you to do is make sure that your body is moving here, that you feel some kind of a push with your legs, enough for the power to come up into your arms and connect your arms to the machine. Even if you are rowing 30 seconds slower than you would normally for these 5 out of 10 efforts, that's fine. I just want you to get your body moving and get used to that. I'll call it strain, but it's not really the right word, but that kind of strain of the power through your body. And then think about rocking forwards over your hips, rocking backwards at the back of the stroke, but also making sure to push your feet at the same time your hands connect the handle to the machine when you feel it starting to move. However, after this stroke, I want you to start to take it up to that 5 out of 10 intensity where you suddenly go, all right, okay, now this feels like exercise, but it doesn't feel hard. You'll start to get out of breath. Your heart rate will probably get to around about 50, 60% of its maximum, if you know your actual maximum, but it won't feel hard, okay? It's just meant to be the same as if you're walking up a hill or climbing a flight of stairs. It's just you're moving your body more than if you're sitting down on a couch, and kind of a little bit more than if you were just walking on a flat road. You don't really get out of breath when you're walking on a road, but you do when you start going uphill. Okay, 2 more strokes. Then we're going to take 1 foot out of the straps. Put it on the ground, continue rowing. And please do put it on the ground. Take it out of the machine, but put it on the ground to help anchor you so that you can pivot forwards onto your toes and backwards onto your heels in order to allow you to still get in and out of the right positions. Let's swap feet. 1 out. There we go. Continue with the other leg. And the point of this is to help with that slide into vertical shins, but also the forwards tilt over your hips into the front of the machine. Having one leg in means there's less kind of springiness of your muscles and tendons to fight against. One more stroke here, then put that foot back in, so both are in, legs straight, and row with your back and arms. So swing back, pull in, push out, swing forwards. And that is really important. You do not want to pull first and then swing. Take up the power with your back swing first, then pull in, but then do the opposite, letting your arms go out first and then rocking forwards. One more here, and then let's roll into the front with straight arms and that forwards tilt, and just use your legs. And really, try to concentrate on holding this forwards tilt with your straight arms, because I think I'm in a perfect forwards tilt right now. And each and every time I go into the edit suite to put these together, I'm quite shocked by how much I'm actually going into kind of a more vertical position. So really concentrate on staying forwards as long as you can. Last stroke here. So not too intense a warm up there, but that's perfectly fine because today's workout isn't too intense. You want to keep it down at that 5 out of 10 all the way through. You don't want to spike your heart rate. So keep on moving up and down the rail, have a quick drink, and I will briefly say one more time what it is we're doing today. Okay then, so what we're doing today is 2 20-minute intervals with 1 minute rest in between. And the important thing here is to keep that low intensity low. So you're looking at that second minute of the warm-up just then. 5 out of 10 effort, 2K plus 18 to 20. However you want to describe it, zone 2 heart rate. Just keep that intensity low, find your point, and then hold it for the 20 minutes. Recover for 1 minute, do it again, and we're all done. Okay, so we might as well get started. I'll talk to you more when we get into our main row. So let's get started in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, let's go. So pretty much deja vu all over again. Not just from how we were just rowing the warm up, but because this intensity, this stroke rate of row has popped up time and time again in the Zero to Hero series. And if you look at the history of what I have done on my Row Along YouTube channel, you will see that 20 strokes a minute, 30 minutes-ish at low intensity is probably the most common row that you will see. And it's just because it's so good for you. I'm going to keep on telling you this until you trust me and agree with me. But yes, it's not the most exciting row in the world. I will give you that. But it's possibly the most valuable row in the world to do because of what it can do to your core fitness, the time and space that it gives you to work on technique. And you know what? There's also an element here that when you do click with this kind of row, not only do you realize how valuable, important this row is, but at the same time, you really can fall in love with spending time on the rowing machine. One of the reasons, there was a few reasons. I'm going to talk technique and stuff in a minute, but I just want to make sure we're all nice and warmed up. There were a few reasons that I set up Row Along in the first place back in 2018. And one of them was because I was so surprised that I'd go into a gym and I'd see people, and I see them rowing with bad technique, lever set to 10 on a concept 2, and thought, there is an amount of education needed here that people just don't know about. But I'd also, just from talking to people, but also seeing people rowing, see that people didn't quite know how to use the machine. And I don't mean from a technique point of view this time. I mean how to program what you're doing from day to day. So people would just climb on, pelt up and down for 2 minutes at max speed, and then you'd almost see this look in the face of, I don't know what to do now. I'm exhausted. Do I rest? Do I continue? If I rest, for how long? And so there was no real structure available, which is for the concept too, although it does have the set workouts in the PM5, most gym goers don't know where they are. So that's where a machine like this, the Averon, with its built-in touchscreen and all the training programs, and not just me, I mean all the actual guided workouts, the kind of graphic ones, that's where it's, I'd say it beats the concept too, because I think people would sit down on this, and I'm not talking about how the row feels here, even though I do really like rowing on the Averon. I don't want to enter into the comparisons of machines, but monitor wise, anyone would sit down on this and instinctively know, oh look, there's games, there's challenges, there's guided workouts, and pick one of them, and then the machine kind of looks after them from that point, tells them what to do. Whereas the monitor on a Concept 2 just sits there. And it's like, you kind of need to know what you're doing before you sit down on it. Which is why there are so many ways to connect an app to it, like the Averon app, to kind of improve, enhance what it's about. So anyway, this kind of all came after my decision to start row along, but the reason I didn't just make a few videos talking about technique and leave it at that and designed all of these training plans and I make all of these row along workouts is to give people an idea of the different ways that you can work out on a rowing machine. And then the deeper you go, that's when during a series like this one, you can look at how you can change workouts based on power or stroke rate or duration or making it an interval workout. One long chunk, lots of small ones. Get off the machine and do some squats. And then how varying the workouts will help you develop. Not necessarily as a rower, although it will, but it'll just develop your fitness. Because you are on this plan anyway, you're going easy for 50% of the sessions. It gives your body a chance to recover for the fast stuff, which then means that you get this foundation fitness building benefit from these rows, but you're able to go hard and fast in the other ones to be stronger, to have a better VO2 max. And so I guess what I'm leading to is that if you started this Zero to Hero series and you've been diligently working through it for the past, well, we're on the 32nd row right now, so say 31 rows plus this one. Hopefully your knowledge about how to row, what to think about your own training has vastly improved. What you know about your own body has hopefully also vastly improved. So you know that if you want to do just a long, slow row, there's like intensity parameters that you need to work within in order to keep it low intensity. And you also know that there's a difference between racing up and down the rail like a bat out of hell and not being able to complete an interval workout, or working at maximum effort with the knowledge that you've got another 12 intervals to go. So that's what I'm hoping. And at the same time, like I said right at the start of this soliloquy, I'm also hoping that you've also learned the value and the joy of these kind of rows. How they really are. If ever I'm like, I don't know what to do today, I'll just set the monitor to 30 minutes, strap in, or strap out. I want to do it strapless, and then row 20 strokes a minute, low intensity. I mean, sometimes I'll throw caution to the wind and do 18 strokes a minute, or 22, which I have thrown in a couple of times as kind of short moments within this series, but mostly because 20 strokes a minute is so easy in terms of one stroke every 3 seconds. I tend to return to this one time and time again when making roll-along workouts. Because I know people struggle with the lower stroke rates. I know if you've never done them before, it can feel awkward at first, but there's usually two things that really get in the way of helping you get used to them. Because you do still need to learn how to do them. There's no kind of shortcut if you don't know how to row at a slow stroke rate. But if you have the resistance, whether that's a resistance like the Averon or the drag factor on a Concept 2, whether you have them, if you have them too high, then that can play havoc with a slow stroke rate. In fact, somebody emailed me today. I promise this is only just, I didn't think about this and think this is what I'm going to talk about. It just popped into my head. Somebody emailed me yesterday saying that as much as they love my videos, they just can't get used to rowing at 20 strokes per minute. They can't do it. They're constantly up at 38, 40 strokes a minute. And that rings alarm bells. Because what that says to me is, another thing was they had their Concept 2 lever set to 10, which if it's a clean machine, it's going to be way too heavy. And so the alarm bells start ringing for me about, right, the reason you're having to do the high stroke rate is because the weight of the flywheel is so much that trying to row at a slow stroke rate, it slows down by so much that you're just unable to keep going at a low stroke rate. And so you find it's easier to keep it turning at a higher stroke rate. And it's the same with the resistance on the Averon, where if you have a higher resistance, it's easier to make it move. If you take your stroke rate up, but really, I think this guy's problem will be technique. I'm gonna assume that he isn't taking long, flowing, controlled, powerful strokes. If he's up at 38, 40 strokes a minute, I'm gonna think he's tickling the machine rather than pushing the power into the machine. Because, listen, there's kind of three things you can look at for how you get power into your rowing machine. First one of them is how much you push your legs into the machine and then swing your back and pull in your arms to actually generate power. If you are not pushing hard with the legs, if you are not swinging your back, and if you're pulling your arms too early in the stroke, you're just not getting the power that your body is capable of into the machine. But what that also means is you are not kind of accelerating against the machine. So because you are fighting the resistance as you push in the power, it kind of slows down your stroke, if you get what I mean. Because if you didn't put power in, you just scoot to the back really quick. But this resistance kind of holds on to you. You have to brace against it to get the flywheel spinning, fighting against the air. And so you do that properly, and that's when your drive phase of your stroke can take 1 second instead of it being a quick half a second stab. But the next thing is the stroke length. So you can put power in, but then in combination with that, for basically for what I was just saying, is that you want to try and get as good a length as possible. Now, notice I said good and not maximum, because maximum would mean really diving into the front to get the handle as far forwards as possible, and also finishing with it above your head to try and pull out as much of the chain as possible, or as much as the belt as possible. Whereas you just want to make sure to get the maximum length from a normal rowing stroke. So that means tilting over your hips with straight arms as you roll into the front, and then making sure to keep that brace, that power against the handle. So from your legs and your back, and then finish it by pulling the handle into your chest at round about sternum height. So you tilt forwards, arms straight, pull in, sternum height. And that gives you the ideal amount of stroke length. You're not doing anything weird to try and get an extra couple of inches out of it that may cause the rest of your stroke to fall apart. And it should make sense. If you can keep the power accelerating into the machine for a nice, long, controlled stroke. Not only is that going to allow you to take a full second over the drive when rowing at 20 strokes a minute, but it's going to give you power all the way through, even to the finish, rather than just dumping the handle into your lap or flicking it down with your wrists. My power goes all the way to the back. So, power, stroke length, and then stroke rate is the third way that you can look to add speed to your stroke. And that's how many strokes per minute. And again, power comes into that because the harder you push, the faster your drive speed. And so that helps with the first half of increasing stroke rate. But the second half is your recovery, where you want to get the handle away smoothly but quickly, and then let the momentum of the handle coming away trigger your forwards rock over your hips, up on your sit bones. And then because that momentum is already taking you forwards, you just have to bend your knees to roll to the front. And when rowing at like 30, 35 strokes a minute, that recovery, quicker recovery, is the key. The drive phase is only half of it. The recovery really is the key to higher rates. One more stroke here. Okay, so we have 1 minute rest. Use it how you like. Read a book. I'm gonna have a quick, very quick drink and continue moving up and down with the handle just to keep my clock going. You don't need to keep light rowing. You can stop entirely. You can see I'm actually doing everything wrong here when it comes to a rowing stroke. Knees are coming up early. I'm dumping the handle into my stomach. I'm leaning my back too soon. This is just because I'm just relaxing in between. I'm just keeping muscles moving lightly, but heart rate's coming down because this ain't rowing. Two more strokes. One more stroke. Are you ready then? Let's get straight back in to the same stroke rate and the same pace. Hopefully, my heart rate was at 128 when I finished that first 20 minutes. And then over the course of the 1 minute rest, it dropped to 88, even though I was moving. And so that means that I allowed my body to recover nicely within that 1 minute. And that, to be honest, when it comes to heart rate, I look at my heart rate more from a recovery point of view rather than the intensity, because most of the time I know whether I'm working hard enough. Yes, you can use it as a way to cap this kind of a row. So like I say, I was up at 128 and I wouldn't want to go, I think like 130 would be where I'd want it to stay. I don't want to go over 130, because then it starts to edge into zone 3 heart rate, which starts to take the efficacy, is that the right word? Of these low intensity rows. kind of blunts the edge of them slightly when you kind of dip into the next heart rate zone. I mean, it's not like a hard line between the two where the moment you get to zone three, your body goes, oh, there we go, oh, nope. Turn off the benefits. This is no longer a beneficial row. There's a little bit of a fuzzy line, but really, when some people describe zone two heart rate zones as 65 to 75% of your maximum heart rate, and much like a speed limit on the roads, most people see that 75 as a like a thing to aim for, to kind of stick around 75, whereas actually saying, right, 65 to 75, yes, but that means the sweet spot is 70. So you aim for 70, and that then gives you headroom during the row in case your heart rate creeps up a little bit. It's unlikely to go down towards 65, after all. Yeah, so that's the zone point of view, but I tend to use my heart rate more as a way to see how my recovery is. So although it wasn't important how much my heart rate recovered in this row, seeing it drop by pretty much a third from 128 to 88 is good news in terms of my cardio fitness, because my body was able to recover really quickly. Or if it's one of the tougher rows, like say the 3 minute tempo interval workout, then it's interesting to look at heart rate recovery to see at what point it doesn't recover enough. So I would always want it to come down to around about 110 in those workouts. But by the time I get to the 7th, 8th interval, the recovery just isn't quite enough because my body's working progressively harder. And as being, in terms of those sessions, we've done 8 of them, we've done 10 of them, and don't be surprised if in your future you find out that you're doing 12 of them. However, what should happen is that the point when it kind of falls off a cliff and your heart's just like, nope, can't catch up anymore, should have happened later and later. Like maybe it happened interval 6 when you were doing 8 of them, but then interval 8 when you were doing 10 of them. So hopefully it would be interval 10 when you're doing 12 of them. Not because of magic, but because of all the work you've been doing in between those sessions in order to improve your fitness and your ability to row at a tempo. It's understandable, really, isn't it, why rowing can get quite nerdy when it comes to numbers, because it's all here in front of you. Even cycling, which is very nerdy with numbers, knowing your watts and things, there are more occasions where you need to keep your eyes on the road when cycling versus looking at the little cycle computer down your handlebars. Whereas, when you're rowing, it's all in front of you, all the time. And therefore, if you like to analyze, assess, and respond to data, rowing's amazing. And I'm not even talking about looking at results afterwards and saying, oh, today I worked at whatever. I mean, literally, as we are rowing together right now, you can see on screen various metrics. Maybe you have your screen showing you your 500 meter split. And so if you keep an eye on that to see if it's sticking fast to the same pace, maybe plus or minus 1 second, or is it randomly jumping up and down by 3 or 4 seconds? Because if it's the latter, then there's a good chance you don't have a consistency to your stroke, that you're not putting in the same even power each time. And that usually comes down to technique, that you're a little bit improvised, let's say, as you come forwards, and then the actual power input itself is jerky and not smooth. And that's usually the cause of a jumping split, of a jumping pace. But then maybe you have it switched to watts and you can see a red line in front of you, or a black bar, who knows what you've got. And as being, this is a steady, consistent, constant pace, you don't want to see too much variation to your watts graph. I want my 232 is my watts as I'm rowing along at 155 pace. And so, although it jumps a little bit every now and then, it's pretty much a smooth line that I have in front of me. And so you can kind of, you can chase the numbers. There's a kind of, there's a world of rowing where it's all about setting an even amount of splits. So say you're rowing a 5,000 meter piece, you give yourself 5 1,000 meter splits. And what you're aiming for is to have the same stroke rate and the same pace for each one of them. And trust me, I can drive you mad when you miss it by 0.1 of a second, or somehow one of the splits your one stroke per minute out and it gives you a 21 instead of a 20. But it's a great way to focus, because as much as I encourage distractions like my videos or like the games and things on the Averon, it's also a good idea to be master of your own brain and not always rely on some kind of external stimulus to keep you interested as you're rowing. Because what you don't want is, say you're on holiday and you go to a gym, they've got a rowing machine, but either it's not a very good machine or it doesn't have the right monitor to connect to an app, or maybe it doesn't have Wi-Fi. I mean, if a gym doesn't have Wi-Fi, but that means that all you're faced with is you and a monitor with some numbers, and you have to be able to get into a state of mind where you're quite happy to row without me blethering on in your ear or racing a friend or playing a game. So, not that I'm trying to tell you not to watch my stuff, but I do recommend mixing up what your mental stimulus is. I'm still not really that big an advocate of watching TV. I've only really done that once. I mean, honestly, I've literally only done it once, because if I've got a TV program running, it distracts me and I'm then no longer thinking about technique or how I'm putting in consistent power. I just end up going, ah, oh, this is a good film. And the only time I did do it was, years, I think 2017 maybe, 2018, I can't remember. And I was training for a 100 kilometer team row. And what it involved was rowing 20 seconds as hard as I could, and then resting for 3.5 minutes, and then rowing, resting, rowing, resting for 5 hours. Now, I do love my Concept 2's monitor. I do love looking at numbers. Got loads more numbers here in my Averon. However, 5 hours, that's a bit long, especially when you're rowing just for 20 seconds and then sitting there for, 3 minutes 40 was the gap in between, not 3.5. And that was because it was a team row and the 3:40 allowed all the other members of the team to do their part before it was then my section. And so, because I was rowing 20 seconds flat out, I wasn't watching TV during those 20 seconds, but while I was resting for the next 3:40, I had, I think it was Mission Impossible Rogue Nation playing, because that's like a 3-hour movie. And then I possibly started the next one to see out the rest of the time. Can't remember. I do remember watching, is it Rogue Nation? Yeah, I think so. The one where he has to jump into the big water tank. That one. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, so I watched it then because it was so long. But from a normal 30-minute row, even like a half marathon, which takes me around about Just over 1:20 right now, 1:20. I just put music on and then fall into that kind of rhythm, the meditative rhythm of finding your stroke, working with your breath, and then constantly analyzing performance and thinking, okay, like for a half marathon, every 3K, I would, because it's 21,097 meters, so every 3,000 meters, I would assess how I felt. Could I push faster? Did I need to hold the pace? Usually, that's the option, so they're the options. I don't often go out too fast and have to slow down. That's something that comes with experience, time in the saddle, learning what your body is capable over certain periods of time. Like if you look at things like the 1 minute full power at 20 strokes a minute, still rowing at the same stroke rate as I am now, but because this is a 40 minute row, there's no way I could row at maximum power at 20 strokes a minute for 40 minutes. Now, I could row a lot faster than I am right now, but because of the training workout, I'm not. But I'm down at 1:55 pace on the Averon, and I'm pretty confident I could do this at 1:45 on the Averon. But I would be absolutely spent by the end, rather than at the end of this one. I mean, I'm out of breath. My heart rate's actually at 134, so I've maybe overcooked it a little bit, but it'll only take me a minute to recover from this, whereas if I was going at full whack, it would take a lot longer than that. And that goes back to what I keep saying, is that I really do hope that this series has taught you a lot about how hard you can push your body, how you're capable of more through technique and experience. And that is us done. So I'm just gonna, again, just move just for a minute. I'm not gonna worry too much about technique. Gonna reseat my backside on the seat a little bit to take the pressure off my glutes from where the sit bones are pressing in. But apart from that, all is good. Heart rate's already down to 120. Because again, I'm not putting in any power. Much like the start of the warm-up, all I'm doing is a light press of my feet. At the same time, I feel the handle bite into the flywheel and magnet in the front of this. And that's the thing. And that just creates enough tension and enough force through my body to keep the muscles engaged, pump them a little bit. Right, it's a minute done, so I'm gonna stop here. You, of course, don't have to stop the cool down just because I am. Remember though, there is a cool down separate one up here that then goes into a bunch of stretching that you might want to do, because 40 minutes rowing, it's quite a long time, wasn't it? So yeah, there we go. I do hope you enjoyed that one. I mean, it's, I don't know what I'd give a review for my chat. It was definitely a little bit straighter, let's say. I wasn't doing a stand-up routine, But kind of at that point where these long rows, I don't think there's much point me just constantly just talking to you about technique. I'm kind of hoping that you're there. The next ones, when we get into the faster ones, like the next row is going to be a faster one. That one I will be a little bit more on point when it comes to technique, just because I want to make sure that you're being safe while you're rowing. But yeah, the longer ones, I might as well just talk to you about stuff. Like I say, it'd probably just end up like white noise, and or you've got Spotify on. So in fact, that could be today's hashtag. Why not? White noise. So if you're going to post on your socials, then use the hashtag white noise just to let me know you got this far through the workout, nothing else. And then, of course, comment and let me know whether you enjoyed it or not. Did you enjoy rowing for 2 20-minute intervals, or you're like, that's a bit long, but it's so good for you. Right, trust me, it really is so good for you. Right, we're all done. So I will see you in another video, whether it's the next one in the Zero to Hero series or whether it's one of the other ones that's up here. There's loads of them. So go have a sniff around and check and see what else is up here. And hopefully you will see me in one of them. I won't see you because that's not how this works, but you will see me. So yeah, let me know how you got on with my rows, whether you enjoy them. Please feel free to get in touch on the Facebook groups or via email or all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and until the next time then, row well, be well. Bye-bye.